We were planning this Exodus series and taking everyone through the story of Exodus, and I was laying out a little of what we were going to do each week. Kara heard we were going to do the call story of Moses, and she says, and this might be a little exaggeration, but, you know, she goes, oh, but Pastor Daniel, can I please? That is my favorite story. I love the call story of Moses. Can I please preach that? And after she tied my arm behind my back, I finally said, okay. No, she really didn't do that, but she's excited, and I'm delighted. She has a great message for you this morning, so let's give it up for Kira.
Thank you. All right. Oh, thanks. All right, so I'm going to invite you this morning to open to the book of Exodus chapter 3 with me. We will be reading verses 1 through 10 as our scripture this morning. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know of their sufferings. And I have come to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the ability to be together and to worship together and to hear what you have for us. I pray that you open the hearts and minds of those here with us in the sanctuary and those of us worshiping at our homes. I pray that you speak through my words or in spite of them, and that you give us the message we need this morning. Amen. Okay, I have a question for you. Where are you most comfortable? And I want you to shout out your answers to me. I will repeat them. And if you're worshiping online with us, drop some in the chat. So where are you most comfortable? Reclining. Okay, home on the sofa.
In the recliner.
In the recliner.
Outdoors.
Outdoors, yes. Where else are we most comfortable?
In bed.
In bed, yes. Oh, yep, I love that one. What else? What else? What you got? Where are you most comfortable?
The patio.
The patio. We had someone say the beach earlier at 9 o'clock. I really liked that answer. Yeah? Yeah? Okay. All right, here's another one. This one's really hard. Where do you spend a majority of your time? Do it again. Shout out your answers or drop them in the chat. In the kitchen. Okay. Where else? Work. Yeah, work. In the recliner. Taking care of the dogs. Yeah. Yeah, where else? Where do you spend a lot of your time?
Yard work.
Yard work? What? Sleeping? Yeah. Okay, these are great things. These are where we spend our time. These are where we're comfortable. I find that I'm most comfortable at home, naturally. I'm really, really comfortable being here at church. I love hanging with my friends. Sometimes comfort is all about who I'm with. So it's people that I'm with, friends. And I really, really like, don't tell them this, I really like spending time with my students. I find that I'm comfortable there. I love spending time with them. I love doing things with them. And these places where we find ourselves are the places where we can let our guard down, where we are typically around people that we can trust, and where our greatest vulnerabilities come to light. These places of comfort and familiarity are also the ones that we find ourselves to most likely have a routine in. So think about your day, okay? Most people get up, maybe you take a shower, you brush your teeth, you drink your cup of coffee, right? You read your devotion or the newspaper. For our parents in the room, you're getting your kids ready for school or daycare or whatever that is, right? You've got that morning routine and then you're out the door, okay? Then you drop the kids off at school and you get to work. And you have a routine at work. It might not look the same all the time if you've got different patients or clients, or you're scheduling different meetings all the time, or maybe you're traveling somewhere to talk to different groups of people, but there are these patterns of behavior that you get yourself into. Your days are pretty much the same. Then you leave work, and you take the kids to practices. Maybe you're headed to a baseball game, or the football game, or wherever you're going, right? You have dinner, you spend a lot of time in the kitchen, you're cooking dinner, you're eating with your family, and then you relax for the night, you go to bed, and you wake up, and you do it all over again, every day. So, these type of routine days are where we find Moses at the start of his story. Okay? I'm not totally sure what a shepherd did back in biblical times. I'm not a shepherd, I don't live there. But the general idea, right, is that a shepherd would get up and move the flock and maybe find them some water and maybe find them some new grass for grazing. Occasionally, they might like have to herd the sheep. Maybe you got one that's run off, you go to get it, right? The everyday things of a shepherd. But we then find that this is not just any typical day for Moses. This is not a typical day with the flock on Mount Horeb. Moses is walking along with his flock and he sees a blazing bush. Okay, sure, whatever. Great. But he notices, it catches his attention, that the bush continues to be on fire. This is abnormal from what we understand, because the dry climate of the biblical area in which Moses would be would have the bush burned up like that. A bush like this should not stay lit. So Moses goes to investigate. And here, when Moses walks up to this bush, is when God finally calls to him. He addresses him, he speaks with him, but in order to do this, Moses must remove his shoes, because the ground on which Moses is now standing has been made holy. God took a simple spot with a bush and Moses and made it holy. God took a place of comfort, a place of familiarity, and he made the ground holy. Moses wasn't in a church. He wasn't at the temple. He wasn't even with his father-in-law, the priest, right? He wasn't with Jethro. He was somewhere he knows, somewhere he would spend every day. And God made that ground holy. So this now holy place is where God speaks with Moses and calls him to his greater purpose. He is calling Moses in this now holy place to go back to Egypt and save the Israelites. God pulled Moses out of his everyday routine to speak with him. Somewhere that he is all the time, God spoke with him. And then Moses removed his shoes. Moses took the time, took the call, and made himself vulnerable. He made himself vulnerable to God and to the ground, and he grounded himself in God's creation, in which he works every day in a new way. And this is where Moses met God, and God met Moses. All Moses needed to do on this ordinary day was open his mind to see where God already was. When you're in the places of comfort, in your places of routine and familiarity, the places that occupy your time, ask yourself, are you ready? Will you allow yourself to see and hear God in these places in which you already are? Now, some of you may say, Kira, I hear God all the time. I'm with God all the time, okay? I love that for you. If you are open to God and what he is doing in the places that you already are, that is fantastic. You're doing great work. But if I'm going to be honest, I work here in the church, and this place is sometimes the place that I am most closed off to God. This place here in the church where I am is sometimes the place where I'm least likely to hear from God because I'm here all the time, right? And I wonder if some of you might feel the same way about the places where you are, where you're comfortable. And it doesn't help. We don't hear stories much of God presenting himself in flaming bushes, right? We don't hear those kinds of things. He's not a pillar of smoke and fire, like, guiding us through the wilderness. And he's not an angel that comes down and physically wrestles us like he did with Jacob, right? Those things would be fantastic. I would love if God would just show up, set my desk on fire, and, you know, tell me what to do next, right? Right? I mean, like, that would be kind of amazing, wouldn't it? I would love if I'm, like, hanging out, or you guys maybe are hanging out at the park with your kids, and some man just kind of strolls up, right? He says, hi, I'm the Holy Spirit. Here's what you need to do next. Okay? That would be miraculous and fantastic. And I'm not saying that God can't do those things, right? Like, God can do anything he wants. But the likelihood of something like that happening is not common. It's slim to none in the days that we live in, right? Even though it would be great. But I wonder if, because we're not going to get a sign like that, if God is stirring the Holy Spirit on holy ground that he has already created in the spaces that we already are. I wonder if God is creating a connection for us to experience if we were simply to take off our shoes. If you know me, I love walking around without my shoes on. You've probably seen me since moving here without my shoes on at some point in time here in the church. Okay? I love that feeling. I love the energy that runs through the earth when I'm not wearing my shoes. I love just the pulse of the church, that if you really let yourself feel it, like, it's amazing. It's something really great. I love removing that physical barrier to really ground myself in creation and ground myself in God. And although it might be weird, you might feel a little awkward, okay? I wonder if you might feel the pull to do the same thing. Maybe you can feel the call of God to remove your shoes. Do it here in worship. Do it here in this building with us while we're worshiping. Or do it at home while you're doing your Bible study, right? Maybe God is asking you to take your shoes off at work. You're sitting at your desk, you're doing things, or wherever you spend your time. And God is saying, take off your shoes, ground yourself in me, feel my call, let me fuel you, and just listen. Because God presents himself right where you already are. God is showing you holy ground where you are. Are you willing to hear the call?